Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you joining us for part three of our series, Who is God? Before we get started, I want to give a special shout out to my sweet wife, Kim, as today we are celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary. I'm a blessed man. I'm so thankful to God for such a precious wife who is my best friend in the world. Happy anniversary, Kim. I love you. I want to just thank you for joining us today. We're going to jump right into this installment of this series. As we look at this series title, Who is God? Our title actually comes from the Old Testament in a story where God delivered Israel out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Moses was called to go to Pharaoh with a message from God, and that message was, "Let my people go." The title of this series is from Pharaoh's response that's recorded in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. When Pharaoh said, "And who is God that I should listen to him?" And each week we are looking at this question, who is God? And secondly, who is God that I should listen to him, as Pharaoh put it. And as God reveals to us who he is, and we discover who he is that we should listen to him, then we are asking each week a third question, then what is our response to him? God revealed to Pharaoh who he was, that he was a great God, greater than all other gods and greater than all the idol gods of Egypt. He revealed to Israel that he was a God of miracles, a God who came to free them from slavery. And so God also wants to reveal himself to you and me today. And why does he want to reveal himself? It's because he wants us to know him. And that is the goal of this series. When God actually called Moses to go to Pharaoh, Moses asked the question, "And who shall I say sent me? What is your name?" And God's answer was, "I am." Some people say it's "I am" with a blank after that. It's whatever we fill in. God is all you need and even more. But in the years that followed the freedom of Egypt, or freedom from Israel from Egypt, they discovered as they traveled and as they went through their journeys, it was revealed to them who God really is. And oftentimes God would reveal himself at the point of their need. Sometimes it was a crisis situation and they would experience God's presence and his mercy and his grace in that time. And they would discover who he was. And so they would attach that characteristic or that attribute and they would assign God a name. Listen, God wants to reveal himself to you and I. And oftentimes it's when we go through crisis and when we go through situations, and that's the place that God comes and he reveals himself to us. He wants you to know him and he wants you to experience the reality of who he is, that he has a mighty outstretched arm, that his hand is mighty to save, but also that his heart is a heart of compassion. That's why God revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross, demonstrating his great love to us and also demonstrating to us that he has the ability to give us the power to live this thing out as we enter into a personal and authentic relationship with him. So the goal of this series is that we will know him. And this series, listen, is not just an informational series that you'll just know kind of intellectually who he is, but no, this is a series so that you'll know him personally and intimately, and it's a series that indeed calls for our response. So let's look at this series. As we're looking at this, we are going through the seven redemptive names of God, and we're taking the 23rd Psalm, which illustrates the seven qualities of the redemptive names of God. So this is where we have begun. We began with David sharing with us about his perception of who God is. And again, hidden in this 23rd Psalm, we see the seven redemptive names of God. So I want us to look at this from Psalm 23 together. And if you're there home with your family, I hope that you'll read this again aloud with us. Come on, let's read it together. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as we take this psalm, in week one, we broke out that first part of this psalm where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we discovered the answer to the question of who God is in the reveal that his first redemptive name is Jehovah Rahi, meaning he is the one who watches over me and guides me into all truth. He wants what's best for you, and he knows the best path for your life. And we answered the question, then why should we listen to him? And we discovered that he is the Lord, my shepherd, and we all need a shepherd. And we discovered what our response should be, and that is to know the shepherd. Last week, we broke out another part of the psalm, which says, I shall not want. The NIV says, I lack nothing. And it was revealed to us the second redemptive name of God, that he is indeed Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. And we discovered that he is the Lord, my provider. And we recognized our response needs to be to put our trust in the Lord who provides. So today we're going to look at the next part of this psalm that's in the second verse where David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it's revealed to us through this beautiful picture that his third redemptive name is Jehovah Shalom. And we discover that he indeed is the Lord, my peace. We find ourselves today in this setting of green pastures and still or calm waters. And really it's a perfect picture of peace, a perfect picture of peace. And so we need some green pastures, don't we? We need some calm waters. In other words, we need some peace and we need some rest. Here we are in the world that we exist in, and we're in a place right now where there's a lot of unrest around us. I'm standing here literally right now in this green pasture trying to find a place of tranquility, and you probably hear the sirens in the background. That's the world in which we live. We find ourselves in the middle of a world pandemic. We're in an order to stay at home and get some rest. But yet, for many of us, rest is a foreign concept. There's the rushed pace of life that we're so used to. And oftentimes, we're even addicted to that rushed pace of life. We're told to stay home and to stay calm. But yet, many times, we're staying home and we're supposed to be calm and at rest, but instead we're filled with anxiety. There's unrest. There's turmoil. There's uncertainties. For many of us, there's health concerns in our world today. There's financial concerns. And there's things upon us that is very emotionally taxing. And who knows, as one person said, what one day can bring. We're in a world where no one knows what one day will bring. And the reality is, has always been the case. It's not just today. We have never known what one day could bring, but the reality hits us home right now with everything that we are going through as a society. Even this week, last Thursday, April the 30th, we remembered that a year ago on that date, this past week, UNC Charlotte experienced a tragic shooting in one of their classroom buildings and the tragedy that hit. And who knew what one day would bring? Even this week with the Postal Service, the world realizing everybody is on edge, there came the news that a letter carrier this week was killed simply because the letter carrier did not have the person's stimulus check. I'm telling you, we live in a world that's filled with depression and there's suicide and there's domestic violence all around. But here's what the words of Jesus, here's what his words are to us in the midst of all this. John 16 and 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And you're saying, okay, well, Jesus says in me, you're going to have peace, you're going to have trouble in the world. But how does that really help me? I want to help you with that and give you the first mention of the name Jehovah Shalom. If you want to find the purest teaching on something, you go to the first mention. And the first mention of the name Jehovah Shalom is found in Judges chapter 6 and also chapter 7. So I want to share some of that with you today. I want to do a little bit of teaching, and then we're going to apply how this relates to us today. So let me give you this story, and I won't go through the whole thing. It's an amazing story. I encourage you to read it for yourself. But in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it's recorded that the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hand of the Midianites. So Israel had disobeyed the Lord, and the Midianites were very oppressive, and Israel hid themselves in mountain cliffs and the caves, and they had strongholds. And the Midianites were so great and so strong in their land, they would plant crops. And as soon as they would plant crops, the Midianites would come in and they'd set up camp and they'd destroy their crops. And the Midianites, and also along with the Amalekites, would come in and they would invade the territory and they would ruin their crops and they would ravage everything. It was recorded that they were like swarms of locusts in numbers, and even their camels were too many to count. And so Israel cried out to the Lord, and God sent a prophet with a message that was reminding them that God had delivered them out of bondage, but God told them not to serve other gods, but they had disobeyed God. And because of that, they caused themselves to go back into this place of bondage and this place of oppression. And then after that, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came. And he came under a particular oak tree, and there was Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press, and he was hiding from the Midianites. Interestingly, when you thresh wheat, you usually go up on the mountaintop where you can throw the wheat up and you shift through it and the wind can catch it, and it works with that environment of the mountaintop. But instead, Gideon was basically in a hole in the ground, hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat where he shouldn't have been. And the reason was he was in hiding. He was fearful. And the angel began to speak to him. And in verse 12, the angels of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." One version says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And so Gideon's response to this, in the state he was in, here was his response in verses 13 through 16. He says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." So he was having this conversation saying, "Excuse me, sir, I don't think you're who I think you think I am. I'm the least." And the Lord turned to him, and his response to him was, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" To which Gideon responded again, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered him again, and he said, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Now, I want to notice something about this conversation that's happening here, and that is, it's important to note that there were two voices going on. On one hand, Gideon was hearing the voice that says, "You're a loser," and while God's voice to him was, "No, you're a winner." One voice was saying, "You're a nobody," and another voice was saying, "You're a somebody." Another voice, the voice he kept hearing close to him was, "You're just a grasshopper," but another voice was saying, "No, you're a giant, and you're a leader of men." One voice was saying, "Well, I'm too weak," while God's voice was, "No, with me, you're strong." One voice was saying, "I'm defeated," while the other voice was saying, "No, you're victorious." He kept hearing the voice that said, "We're abandoned by God," but the message came to him, "I will be with you." I want us to note that. Now, here's what happened. God was calling Gideon to deliver Israel out of this oppressive state. And Gideon needed some signs. And so there were several signs that came his way to confirm and to encourage him. And one of the things, though, he did at the very beginning to know whether this was truly God speaking to him, he said, "Let me go make a meal for you." And he came and he made him a meal, and he had some meat and some bread there. And so when he presented it to this messenger, which the Bible describes as the angel, what happened was the angel took his rod and he touched that meal that was placed upon a rock, and the fire consumed it. And then the angel of the Lord disappeared. And immediately Gideon was extremely afraid. Now follow that for just a moment. I'll come back to that. But look at what the Lord's response to him was in Judges chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Because he thought he had saw God face to face, and that meant sure death to him. But the message was, you're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." Now what follows was Gideon went and he tore down the altars of Baal, and he built up the altars of God. And then again, there was a series of signs and confirmation to build Gideon's faith. And then God ended up sending Gideon, who started with 32,000. He pulled him down to 22,000, and then finally got him down to 300 men that were going to go do this incredible feat. And God wanted to make sure it wasn't man getting the glory, but he was getting the glory. And they went forth not with swords, but they went forth with trumpets, with empty jars, with torches, and they broke then up into three companies. So 100 people on one side of the enemy's camp, another 100 on one side, and another 100 on another side. And as they sounded the trumpet and broke the jars and lifted their torches, they shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And what occurred after that was the enemy turned on each other with swords and fled. Listen, it's an amazing story. I encourage you to go look at it and study it. But it's an amazing story of how God will bring victory to us when we are outnumbered, when we are outmatched, when we are outmaneuvered, and we are out-resourced. But what I want us to see in this story is that Gideon discovered that the Lord is peace. Listen to this. Gideon discovered that God was a God of peace before this great victory. Let me say that again. In this story, we see that Gideon discovered that the Lord is peace before the victory was actually won. And it was at the point where Gideon realized who was speaking to him, that it was revealed to him that he is the Lord of peace. In fact, he said the Lord is peace is the way he put it. But I want to go back and look at this, and again, Judges chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. And Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, and he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." I want us to just focus here for just a moment in the fact that the angel of the Lord, the Bible has that term and often play in many places, the angel of the Lord. And scholars believe it is the pre-incarnate Christ himself when scripture refers to the angel of the Lord. We see the angel of the Lord mentioned when spoke to Hagar on two separate occasions. It was the angel of the Lord who spoke to Abraham and stayed his hand from offering up his son Isaac. It was the angel of the Lord that appeared to Jacob that described him as he wrestled with God. It was the angel of the Lord that appeared in the burning bush to Moses. It was the angel of the Lord who spoke to Balaam as the one who brought Egypt out of bondage. It was the angel of the Lord who appeared to Manaiah and his wife, who then gave birth to Samson. And it was the angel of the Lord who appeared to Gideon. I want us to see that what happened was Gideon literally encountered the presence of God. And it is at the point of his encounter with the Lord that he discovered, again, that he is the Lord of peace. I keep saying the Lord of peace, but the way he worded it was, the Lord is peace. It's not just something he gives, but Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, is peace. God is peace. So please notice, his circumstances had not changed. So how did he experience this peace? I'm going to tell you something. Just write this down. This is profound, okay? Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of God. And I want to dispel a myth that I've probably been guilty of falling into myself, and that is vacations do not offer peace. It's not vacations. In fact, you can go on vacation and be more turmoil and need a vacation from the vacation. So that myth is wrong. Listen, peace is not found in where we are and in what we're doing or going to another place or getting rid of certain people in our lives. Listen, peace is found in the presence of God. It's not the absence of problems. It is the presence of God. So let's learn something here today and apply it to us and how this works for us today. We are living in very stressful times. This week, even for me personally, has been a rough week. Rough week. You ever have one of those weeks and it's rough and then you realize what you're supposed to speak on Sunday? It's like, why do I keep getting tested like this? I had one of the roughest weeks. And yet I said, and the subject I got to speak on Sunday is peace. And so I'm confessing to you right now that I didn't necessarily handle everything right this week. There's times where we get under stress and we're all under so much stress right now. But here's what we think. Many times we think that if things could just change, we just need things to change. We want God to change things. We want God to change people. We want God to change our location. We want God to give us a vacation or give us a break. But can I tell you, if I can get to a better place, if I can have some physical change. But isn't it interesting where God reveals that He is God's Shalom? It is wherever you are in the middle of your problem. And that's right where you need Him. He appears in the middle of the conflict. He appears in the middle of the stress. He appears in the middle of all that. And it's wherever you are in the middle of your problem, that's where you need Him. And God reveals that He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. So He reveals Himself to a guy hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat, cowering in fear of his enemy. He reveals Himself to a shepherd named David, whose life was threatened by King Saul. He revealed Himself to a guy named Daniel, surrounded by lions all night long. And yet in the middle of that, He found peace right there in the middle of that. He revealed Himself to three Hebrew children who were thrown into a fiery furnace. He showed up. He showed up to a group of disciples who were in a boat in the middle of a storm and thought they were going to drown and found Jesus, a picture of perfect peace, asleep in the hinder part of the ship, who then got up and said, "Why are you so fearful?" And He said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the sea and the elements obeyed Him. Another time He came walking on the water, a symbol of peace that God is the conqueror of all. It's Him appearing to a woman who was caught in adultery, who was going to be stoned, but He spoke to her and said, "I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." He shows up on a cross and speaks to a thief on the cross and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He speaks to a group of disciples hiding in fear of the Romans after the crucifixion, and Jesus appears in the room and says, "Peace." He speaks to the Apostle Paul in the middle of a storm, who, when all hope was lost that they would be saved, the Bible describes that an angel appeared and encouraged him that, "No, I'm with you," and gave them peace and assurance, even while the storm was still raging. And I believe that's why it's the Apostle Paul who can say these words to us. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And look what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Can I just share this with you? That right before He says that about not being anxious about anything, in verse 5, let me give you the four words that lead up to that statement. He says, "The Lord is near." You see, I think that's the key to it. Jehovah Shalom shows up when and where we need Him. The one whose name is the Prince of Peace declared this in John 14 and 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And so how does that change my current situation? You might change. We think when things can change, we can experience peace. But listen, peace is found regardless of things that are happening. Peace is found not when things change, but peace is found when we change, when there's an internal change inside of us. God changes us. And how does that happen? We can't do it ourselves. We can't create that peace ourselves. You and I don't have the right stuff. It's not within us. It's not in ourselves. It's going to take the presence of Jehovah Shalom coming in on the inside to change us and to give us that peace. And why do we need him come in? The big reveal is because he is peace. Gideon said, the Lord is peace. He gives us himself. But as David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. And we'll never discover peace until he is my shepherd. You'll never discover peace until you can say that he is your shepherd and that he guides your life and that he is your peace. You'll never discover peace until he is your peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That makes perfect sense because he is the source of our peace because he is peace. Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. I believe what the scripture is saying to us is seek Jesus and pursue Jesus. And when you do, he will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters. Interesting, those words are, he'll make you lie down, as if we wouldn't do it in and of ourselves. It takes God getting us to lie down, and God comes to us to get us to lie down in green pastures, to lead us into still waters. Even while the storm, you say, well, the storm's still raging, and that robs me of my peace. But even when the storm is all around us, there can oftentimes be a storm. The worst storm is the storm that's within us. That's why Paul says we war within the members of our own body, within ourselves. There's turmoil. There's a churning. But God wants to give you rest. And so there's the principle of the Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath. The seventh day, God set aside as a sacred day for us to rest. Interestingly, man wasn't created until the sixth day, and God said rest on the seventh day because we're resting not in our own work, we're resting in the completed work of God. And you say, well, you're talking about the creation. Well, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the cross, the completed work of what Jesus did on the cross. He provided for us so that we could enter into the rest of what he had completed for us. The term is Shabbat Shalom, which means peaceful Sabbath. Our number is the number 6. God's number is the number 7. And oftentimes we spend all of our energy in day number 6 working, but God wants to bring us into his day, day 7, where we find rest. Today, I just want you to know, you can find rest. I remember someone once saying, sometimes when we lay down at night and we're laying on our bed, instead of the bed holding us up, we're trying to hold the bed up because we're so tense. Listen, Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. God gives us rest. How does he do that? Can I tell you how he accomplished it? Isaiah 53:5-6 prophesies to us about it when it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, everybody, God offers you peace, and he offers you to cast everything on him, and in return, he gives you peace that he alone can give. He offers you rest. He offers you green pastures. He offers you still waters. And that can happen for you right now. The peace that Jesus said he offers, not as this world gives, which is contingent upon external circumstances. No, his peace is a peace on the inside that passes all understanding. It's supernatural peace. God wants to give you that peace today. His peace is only available in his presence, in the presence of the Prince of Peace. That's where we find peace. It's not in going here or there, or doing this or that. It's discovering the person of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So today we ask these questions. Who is God? The reveal of who God is that he is Jehovah Shalom. And who is God that I should listen to him? The discovery is that he is the Lord, my peace. And what is my response? I believe this should be our response today, and that is to rest in the Lord, my peace. to rest in peace. You know, those words are words that we usually put on a tombstone of somebody that has died. Rest in peace. But can I tell you, that's not just for those that are no longer alive. That is for us today. That is for the living. We can live in a state of resting in peace. Many of us feel like we're on a treadmill, but listen, God offers rest. He offers Shabbat Shalom. The peace of God comes, listen to this, the peace of God comes by making peace with God. I'm going to share with you in closing the sweetest verses in the scripture it's been described as. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." God's way is the best way, and we can come to Him and He can teach us His way. And that, can I just share with you that you're one heartfelt prayer away from that happening inside of you. If you'll invite the Lord to be the peace in your life, the Lord of peace to live inside of you, how do we do that? We surrender. We lie down in green pastures. We let Him lead us beside still, calm waters. We let Him calm us on the inside and give us peace. Can I pray with you right now? If you need to pray a prayer saying, "I need to do that today. I need to surrender my life to you, Lord. I need your peace right now inside of me." It's available. You're one heartfelt prayer away from that happening. And I'd like to lead you in that prayer. Can you just pray this prayer with me? Come on, let's pray together. Let's pray. Today, Lord, come on, say it together. Let's say it together. Say, "Today, Lord, I acknowledge that you are Jehovah Shalom. And today I make you, the Lord, my peace. Today I rest my life in your hands and receive you into my life as my Prince of Peace. Thank you for going to the cross, paying my debt, purchasing peace for me. Today I put my faith in you and I give you my life. I cast all my cares on you because you care for me. You said I could come and find rest. Today I come. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen."